الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، I am your brother in Islam, inshallah, Muhammad Jibali, the chairman of Al-Quran and Sunnah Society of North America. And we are glad to visit this masjid in Philadelphia, alhamdulillah, and to bring with us one of our guests in this country, Sheikh Salim Hilali, who is one of the students of Sheikh, the great alama of our time, Muhammad Nasruddin Albani. And he is also the author of a large number of books and treatises on Islam. As some of you at least probably know, that Al-Quran and Sunnah Society is, with the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal, the symbol of the Salafi da'wah in this country. And it has been persistent in trying to preserve its da'wah clean and clear and pure, away from the impurities and innovations that try to infiltrate into the da'wahs, into the da'wah, through other various groups and parties. That, of course, means that we sometimes do not have many friends, because not every person is pleased with the truth. But alhamdulillah, that would not deviate us from persisting on it. And our example in this is our great Sheikh, Muhammad Nasruddin Albani, who alone started his blessed work in spreading this da'wah in some of the countries in our time by writing books, giving lectures and so on. So now his influence cannot be denied by anyone, including those who proclaim themselves to be his enemies. Even his enemies are forced to, when they speak, when they say something, they are forced to make sure that they use authentic hadith and do not include unauthentic hadith in their talks. They are forced, or they find themselves obliged, to start their talks with khutbat al-haja. You find that they are forced to stay away from some of the bid'ah, or many bid'ah innovations that people know that these are innovations, and so on. So the truth, inshallah, will spread with Allah's help, and people do not have to worry about the results. People have to worry about being clear, pure, sincere, and persistent in spreading the da'wah. And now Allah will do the rest. Something very important to point out here and in other places, that for our Sunnah Society, contrary to what some people try to propagate, is not closed on a certain group of people in terms of wala, an alliance, or in terms of nationalities or things like that. This is not true at all, and sufficient to realize that in the world of Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah society, there is a mixture of brothers from about 8 different countries of the world, originally, 2 of them being Americans. And our hope is that with time, and this is our continued attempt now, that with time, and very soon inshallah, Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah society would be taken charge of by people who are from this country, so that anybody else who is in this country in America for a temporary period of time, we do not have to worry about him leaving and the da'wah collapsing because of that. We want the Salafi da'wah to continue and to grow in this country, and we want that to be handled by the native brothers and sisters of this land. So the Jamiyat al-Qur'an wa-Sunnah is not closed in nationality, nor in wala, but it is closed in its da'wah, which means it does not allow anything but the pure Salafi da'wah to be presented through its media. And its media, as you know, are not too many, but alhamdulillah are very effective and very well trusted by people, including the Huda paper that probably many of you read it, including our new publications, Al-Mu'mina and Mu'min al-Saghir, for women and for kids, and including our lectures and conferences and camps and so on, in which we invite speakers from all over the world, including our fatwa line, where people call and ask questions all the time, and many other ways. So, through our media means, we make sure and we insist that only the pure Salafi da'wah is presented to people, because this is true Islam and everything else is not. Alhamdulillah, with Allah's bounty, this blessed da'wah is spreading in various parts of this country as it is in other parts of the world as well, despite the hate of its enemies. And you find now the du'at, the callers to the methodology of the Salaf, numerous in various parts of this country, as I said. You have several of them in your area, in East Orange and Baltimore and South Carolina and New York, and then some in California and other parts of the country, Texas. Alhamdulillah, they are establishing the da'wah and people are growing again around them upon the true manhaj. So this is a fadl, a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we hope that will continue despite, as I said earlier, the hate of people who try to twist the da'wah and to change its goals and to introduce impurities to it. But this, as long as we live, inshallah, we will not allow it to happen. And as long as we live and we are helped by our brothers like you, who are sincere and persistent in Islam, then inshallah the da'wah will grow. And it will eventually, and hopefully sooner than later, will be handled by you exclusively, inshallah. We want men to support this da'wah. Alhamdulillah, the men are growing and increasing. So inshallah the da'wah is in good shape, and Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah society is looking more and more for help and support so that it can do more work any jama'a way, in a collective way, whose effects will spread very visibly all over the country and all over the world as well, and therefore would be able to influence more people to see the truth, inshallah, and to flock to it. And along this line, we have Sheikh Salim Al-Hilali, as I said, with us, and he is from Jordan. He came for a tour in the United States and the United Kingdom, so he'll be here for about 2 weeks, for another week almost, and then he's going to England for about 2 more weeks to meet our Salafi brother there and give lectures in different areas of the of England. So in this talk now, inshallah, he will talk about the fundamentals or the basic principles of the Salafi da'wah, and to make it clear and open, obvious, so that it can be understood in contrary to the different da'wat and in contrary to the misunderstandings that some people might have about this da'wah. What is it? Is it a party? Is it a hizb? Is it a certain group that is like a clan or a rigid group that we have to be wary about, or what is it? So inshallah he'll explain to you what is the Salafi da'wah. The Salafi da'wah is nothing but Islam, the pure Islam itself, inshallah. So let us hear his words of wisdom, inshallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة في الله، مما يثلج صدر الإنسان أن يرى إخوانا له في هذه الديار قد اجتمعوا على طاعة الله واجتمعوا أيضا على اتباع رسول الله. فمما يزيد هذا في يقين الإنسان على أن هذا الدين لا يمكن أن يخبو نوره ولا يمكن أن ينطفئ مهما حاول أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى أن يفعلوا ذلك، لقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره.
My khutbat al-haja, and if you want to, a translation of it, you find it now in numerous books or magazines, including the introduction of any of the publications of the Quran Sunnah Society. Then he said it is something that makes the heart very happy to see brothers for him who have gathered together on obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, the religion of Islam, the deen of Islam, will not dim, or its light will not go off, because Allah has promised that the disbelievers would wish to do that to extinguish Allah's light, but Allah will complete His light even though they dislike it.
ولذلك فنحن نبين المنهج الحق إن شاء الله لمن أراد أن يتبع هذا المنهج الحق، لأن هذا المنهج هو منهج محمد بن عبد الله ومنهج أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذين ساروا على أثره ولم يزيغوا عن سنته وبلغون هذا الدين كاملا كما بلغهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الدين كاملا.
And thus we find it important to explain the true manhaj, the true methodology. Explain it clear for him who would like to follow it. The methodology and manhaj of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum who have followed his way and did not deviate from it the least bit, and then they conveyed it to us clear and clean as they have received it.
فالمنهج السلفي نسبة إلى السلف، والسلف هم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن تبعهم من التابعين الأخيار وممن تبعهم من تابعيهم الأبرار، فهو انتساب إلى قرون الخير وإلى خير الناس وإلى أفضل الناس بعد الرسل صلوات الله عليهم وسلامه.
And the Salafi methodology relates to the Salaf, and the Salaf are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their tabi'in, their followers, and then anybody who followed them properly from the succeeding generations. It is a relationship that is this manhaj is a relationship to the generations of goodness, to the blessed generations, the generations who are the best after those of the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وهذا ما أخبر به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ يقول في الحديث الصحيح: خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. ويقول أيضا صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما سئل عن الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة عندما أخبر أن اليهود افترقت على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وأن هذه الأمة ستفترق على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة، قال له الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم: من هي يا رسول الله؟ قال: ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. انظر إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف يبين أن الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة هي ما كان على سنته وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين وسنة أصحابه رضي الله عنهم. لماذا؟ لا قيمة لقول أحد مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن ليقول لمن يأتي من بعدهم أن سنتي ينقلها الصحابة وأن منهجي يبينه أصحابي وأن الدين يبلغه من معي ألا وهم أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of people are my generation. Then the next one, the following one. Then the following one. So he praised his Sahaba and the other generations which are the generations of the Salaf. And also he said that the Jews have separated and divided into 71 groups. And the Christians are divided into 72 groups. And this Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, will divide into 73 groups or parties, all of them in the fire, except one. And one asked, which is this one, O Messenger of Allah? He said, it is the one who will be according to what I am on, that is the way I am on, and my Sahaba. There is no need or no value for anybody to say anything when the Prophet ﷺ was present. So why would he have to mention his Sahaba with him, according to what I and Sahaba are upon now? Why did he need to mention his Sahaba? In order to tell people who are coming in the future of the importance of the Sahaba and their methodology, so that they would take it all as something that has to be followed.
وأيضا فإن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما ذكر الاختلاف وذكر الافتراق فأرشدنا إلى المخرج من الفتنة وأرشدنا إلى كيف نتجاوز المحنة. يقول العرباض بن سارية رضي الله عنه وأرضاه: خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب، فقلنا يا رسول الله كأنها موعظة مودع فأوصنا. قال: عليكم بالسمع والطاعة. وإن عبدا حبشيا فإنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فإنه من يعش منكم فسوف يرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، ليس اختلافا يسيرا وإنما اختلافا كثيرا. ما المخرج من هذا الاختلاف؟ اتباع سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بفهم صحابة رسول الله رضوان الله عليهم. عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ، أي تمسكوا بها ولا تفرطوا بها ولا تخذلوها، فإنها طريق النجاة إلى الله تبارك.
Also, the Prophet ﷺ told that the way to get out from fitna, from the turmoil, is by adhering to the way of his sunnah and the way of his sahaba radiallahu anhum. In the hadith of Al-Arbad bin Sariya, he said that the Prophet ﷺ gave us a very effective talk or address, speech, that caused our eyes to shed tears and our hearts to terrified. So we said, O Messenger of Allah, this sounds like the speech of somebody who is departing. So give us some advice. He said, I advise you to listen and obey, even if your ruler, he said, I advise you to listen, usikum taqwa Allah, to have taqwa of Allah, and listen and obey, even if an Abyssinian slave is your ruler. Because whoever will come after me will see great turmoil, great difference and fighting and division. He didn't say little division, he said great division. So how to solve this turmoil? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ So I hold to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. Bite onto it with your teeth and beware of the newly invented matters in the deen, because every such invented matter is a bid'ah, innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire. So he told that the way out of turmoil is by adhering to his sunnah and the sunnah of his sahaba, and to stay away from anything that conflicts with them.
مما ذكرنا من أحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبين لنا أمر مهم ومسألة عظيمة، وهي أننا لا نستطيع أن نفهم كتاب الله إلا بسنة رسول الله. لا يمكن لأحد مهما كان عالما، مهما كان ذكيا، مهما كان فقيها، أن يفهم كتاب الله دون الرجوع إلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وكذلك لا يمكن لأحد أن يفقه الكتاب والسنة، لا يمكن لأحد أن يفقه الكتاب والسنة إلا بفهم صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومن تجاوز عن فهم صحابة رسول الله فإنه سيقع في الابتداع، وسيقع في الانحراف، وسيقع في الزيغ، ويصير إلى هوان وإلى بوار. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى محذرا من اتباع غير سبيل الصحابة، ومن اتباع غير فهمهم، ومن السير على غير نهجهم، ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. لذلك لا بد من فهم كتاب الله ومن فهم سنة رسول الله على ضوء منهج السلف الصالح، أعني الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين.
It is impossible to understand Allah's book without referring to the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No alim, no matter how knowledgeable he is, can claim that he can do without the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And similarly, it is impossible to understand the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without referring to the understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And whoever does not refer to those then he will definitely fall into deviation and misunderstanding. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the meaning, whoever differs or contends with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after guidance has been clarified to him and follows away other than the way of the believers, we will give him what he chose and send him to hellfire, and that is indeed a bad abode for him. So indeed there is no way to understand Islam without Allah's book and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah, by which I mean the Sahaba and their followers, their true followers, until the day of the of judgment.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كيفية الأخذ عن الله وعلى يكون كثير من الناس يقولون نحن نأخذ من الكتاب والسنة، أما الصحابة فهم رجال ونحن رجال. هذا الكلام غير صحيح، هو رجل ولكنه ليس عنده فهم أبي بكر، وليس عنده فهم عمر، وليس عنده فهم معاذ، وليس عنده فهم أصحاب بدر، وليس عنده أصحاب فهم أصحاب الشجرة رضوان الله عليهم. لماذا كانوا خير الناس؟ أهم خير الناس في لباسهم؟ أهم خير الناس في أموالهم؟ أهم خير الناس في أشكالهم وألوانهم؟ لا، إنهم خير الناس في فهمهم، خير الناس في علمهم، خير الناس في تقواهم، خير الناس في اتباع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So once we understand that this is a command from Allah Azza wa Jal to follow their way because of what you heard, that he says anybody who follows other than the way of the believers, he goes to the fire, and the believers are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If we understand that this is a command from Allah Azza wa Jal, then we realize that we have to abide by it, and we have no option but to go by the understanding of the Sahaba and the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And those who claim that they adhere to the book and the Sunnah, but not the Sahaba, they say, as for the Sahaba, I do not adhere to them, to follow their way, because they are just human beings like ourselves, then he is ignorant about Al-Kitab and Al-Sunnah. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that they are the best among people, khayrun nas? Is it because they were the best in their clothing, in their looks, in their colors? No. It is because of their knowledge and understanding and taqwa and adherence to the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ولذلك فإن المنهج السلفي يقوم على ثلاثة أصول. الأصل الأول التوحيد، وكلمة التوحيد جاءت في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في حديث أن عمرو بن العاص وهشام بن العاص جاء إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: إن أبانا قد أنذر أن ينحر 100 من الإبل، أفنفعل عنه؟ قال لهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو كان أبوكما أقر بالتوحيد لجاز، لو كان أبوكما أقر بالتوحيد لجاز. فكلمة التوحيد يعني أن توحد الله، يعني أن تحقق معنى لا إله إلا الله، ولها 3 أركان. الركن الأول أن توحد الله في أفعاله، فتؤمن بأنه الخالق، بأنه الرازق، بأنه المحيي، بأنه المميت، بأن له الخلق وله الأمر، وهذا يسمى توحيد الربوبية. الأمر الثاني أن تتوجه في العبادة وفي الطاعة إلى الله، فيكون صومك وصلاتك وحجك وزكاتك وخوفك وحبك وبغضك كلها لله ومن أجل الله. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين، فصل لربك وانحر. كل حياة المسلم ينبغي أن تكون متوجهة لله، لا يشرك مع الله أحدا، كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا.
So the Salafi manhaj or methodology has 3 basic principles, and the first of one or stands on 3 basic principles. The first one is Tawheed. Tawheed of Allah, or as is translated, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the oneness of Allah consists of 3 different items. The Tawheed itself is mentioned in the hadith when Amr ibn al-As and Hisham ibn al-As came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, our father has made a vow to slaughter 100 camels, so should we do it? He said, had your father admitted to Tawheed, then it would have been possible for you to do it. Which means he was not a believer when he made such a vow, so it cannot be accepted from him as a worship. The Tawheed is to believe in the oneness of Allah, and that, as I said, it consists of 3 items. The first one is to believe that Allah is the creator and owner of the universe, the one who owns it and has the command over it. He is the one who provides for people and whom everything is in his hands. Then, and this is called the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, to believe in Allah's oneness as being the Lord or the owner or the Rabb of the universe, of the creation. Then there is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, to believe in Allah's Uluhiyyah, which means that He is the God alone, which means that the worship may not be directed to anyone besides Him. as in the ayah say, which means my prayer, say my nusuk, which means the rites of my hajj or my slaughtering, and my life and my death. In the salati or nusuki, in the beginning there's salati, my prayer and slaughtering, and life and death are for Allah, the Lord of the peoples. So, and also to reserve all sorts of worship, like fear and hope, to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is called Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, or the oneness in worship, or in taking Allah as the God, as the only one who deserves to be worshipped.
وأما الركن الثالث من أركان التوحيد فهو توحيد الأسماء والصفات، أي أنك تصف ربك تبارك وتعالى بما وصف به نفسه وبما جاء عن على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله هو أعلم بنفسه من نفسه، أعلم بنفسه من خلقه، أأنتم أعلم أم الله؟ فالإنسان يؤمن بأن الله له الأسماء الحسنى وله الصفات العليا ويثبتها لله تبارك وتعالى، لا يؤولها، أي لا يغير معناها ولا ينفيها ويقول أنه ليس له صفات، ولا يفوضها ويقول لا أعلم معناها، بل هو يثبتها ويعلم معناها كما جاء في لغة العرب. وكذلك له الصفات العليا كما جاء في كتاب الله وكما جاء في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The third item of توحيد is توحيد الأسماء والصفات. To believe in the oneness of Allah's names and attributes. To believe in what Allah Azza wa Jalla described Himself with, or with what His Messenger described Him in His Sunnah, without negating or suspending any of these meanings, but to believe that they are according to what agrees and conforms with His greatness and glory subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe that they are true, because Allah knows best about Himself and knows what is suitable to describe Himself with. So we believe that His attributes are not like His creatures, but they are true in a way that conforms with His greatness and glory subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أما الأصل الثاني وهو اتباع رسول الأصل الأول قلنا توحيد الله، الأصل الثاني اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنه لا طريق إلى الله إلا عن طريق رسول الله، كما قال الله تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحبكم الله، وكما قال الله ومن يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. إذن لا طاعة لله إلا بطريق رسول الله، ولا طريق لمحبة الله إلا باتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The second item or the second fundamental of the Salafi manhaj is al-ittiba', adherence, to adhere to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is an obligation to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and adhere to him. And the one who does not do that, then he has not obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says what means, if you love Allah, then follow me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will love you. And he says what means, whoever obeys the Messenger has in fact obeyed Allah. And he says what means, Whoever, you heard it earlier, whoever contends with the messenger after the guidance has been shown to him and follows the way, the ways of the believer, then he deserves the hellfire. And so on. There are so many ayats, numerous ayats, which make it an obligation on Muslims to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to adhere to his sunnah.
واتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني أن نحكم سنته بعد ما بعد وفاته صلى الله عليه وسلم هي طاعته في حياته وتحكيم سنته بعد وفاته. لذلك قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن تمسكتم بهما، كتاب الله وسنتي، ولن يفترقا حتى يرد عليه الحوض. إذن فعلامة اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تنفذ سنته وأن تطبق سنته وأن تسير على سنته الصحيحة كما نقلها إلينا الرواة الثقات الأثبات.
After the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, adherence to him means to adhere to his sunnah. So in his life is to follow his commands, after his death is to adhere to his sunnah as is transmitted to us. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have left with you two things that if you adhere to them, you will never be misguided. The Book of Allah and my sunnah. And they will not separate until they come to me when I am on the haud, on the pool of the Day of Judgment. So the itiba, or the adherence, is to adhere to his, to him in his life and to his sunnah after he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ولذلك فلا يجوز للمسلم أن يتبع مذهبا غير سنة رسول الله، فلا يجوز له أن يقول أنا حنفي، أنا شافعي، أنا مالكي، أنا حنبلي، لأن مذهب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هو سنته، ومذهب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم واحد، ومذهب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتفرق إلى عدة مذاهب. أيضا هؤلاء الأعلام الذين اتبعوا وقلدوا من دون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهوا أتباعهم عن تقليدهم وزجروا تلاميذهم عن أخذ أقوالهم وتقديمها على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
It is not permissible to follow a way or a madhab other than the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those great scholars, so it's not permissible to say, for example, I am a Hanafi or a Maliki or a Shafi or a Hanbali. And those great scholars to whom these madhab are referred, they had prohibited their followers from imitating them, and they have commanded them to adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is one way. It is not four ways.
قال الإمام أبو حنيفة رحمه الله لتلميذه أبي يوسف واسمه يعقوب: ويحك يا يعقوب لا تكتب عني كل ما تسمع مني، فإني بشر أقول القول اليوم وأرجع عنه في الغد. وقال الشافعي رحمه الله: إذا قلت قولا يخالف سنة رسول الله فاضربوا بقولي عرض الحائط، وقال الإمام مالك رحمه الله: كل يؤخذ منه ويرد عليه إلا صاحب هذا القبر، وأشار إلى قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال الإمام أحمد رحمة الله عليه: لا تقلدني ولا تقلد مالك ولا الثوري ولا الأوزاعي، وخذ من حيث أخذوا. من أين أخذوا؟ إنهم أخذوا من رسول الله، وخذ من حيث أخذوا، لأنه لا واسطة بين الخلق وبين الحق إلا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو واسطة تبليغ وواسطة بيان لا واسطة عبادة. أي أننا لا نعبد محمد بل نعبد الله، والذي يبين لنا كيف نعبد الله هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Imam Abu Hanifa said to his student and friend Abu Yusuf, whose name was Yaqub, he said, do not write everything that I say, because I am only a human being. I say one thing today, which means I have an opinion today, and I withdraw from it tomorrow. So I change my mind. And Shafi'i said, if I say anything that disagrees with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then take what is in the sunnah and strike with my saying, or hit with my saying into the walls. And Imam Malik said, for everyone you can take what he says and reject some of what he says, except the one who is in this grave, who is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, do not imitate me or imitate Malik or Al-Thawri or Al-Awza'i, but take from where they took, which means take from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وأما الركن الثالث من أركان أو الأصل الثالث من أصول المنهج السلفي فهو التزكية، ونقصد بالتزكية أن يزكي الإنسان نفسه، وأن يربي الإنسان نفسه على منهج الله، لأن التزكية جاء من أجلها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. إذن مهمة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتلو على الأمة آيات الله، وأن يعلم الأمة كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله، وأن يزكي الأمة. والتزكية تعني تطهير هذه النفس على طاعة الله تبارك وتعالى. لذلك كان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: اللهم زكي نفسي، اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها.
The third fundamental of the Salafi manhaj is tazkiyah. And tazkiyah, or purification, is that a person would purify himself and make it grow according to the manhaj and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua in which he says, O Allah, give my soul its taqwa and purify it, you are the best one to do so. Tazkiyah is the thing for which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, as is mentioned in the Quran, what means it is he, which is Allah azza wa jal, it is he who has sent among the illiterate a messenger from themselves to recite to them his ayat and purify them and teach them the book and wisdom, even though they were before that in great misguidance.
وحتى تتحقق هذه الأصول الثلاثة في حياة الناس لا بد من أمرين. لا بد من أمرين مهمين. الأمر الأول أن نتلقى الإسلام الصحيح المصفى. أن نتلقى الإسلام الصحيح المصفى. لأن الإسلام تعرض لحملات تشويه كثيرة، فالشيعة حرفوا الإسلام، والصوفية بدلوا الإسلام، والمعتزلة أولوا الإسلام، وكل فرق الضلالة أدخلت في الإسلام ما ليس منه. فأي إسلام نريد؟ هل نريد الإسلام الصوفي؟ هل نريد الإسلام الشيعي؟ هل نريد إسلام الخوارج؟ هل نريد إسلام المعتزلة؟ هل نريد إسلام الجهمية؟ هل نريد إسلام المرجئة؟ هل نريد إسلام القاديانية؟ هل نريد إسلام البهائية؟ فرق كثيرة دخلت في الدين وشوهت جماله. إذن لابد من تصفية الإسلام ليعود كما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
To establish these three fundamentals of the Salafi manhaj, we need to perform two things. First, to purify Islam, or to establish the pure and correct Islam, because Islam has been changed and impurities have been introduced into it by various groups like Ash-Shia, Al-Sufiyya, Al-Mu'tazila, etc., etc. So which Islam do we want? The Islam of the Shia, or the Islam of Sufiyya, or Mu'tazila, or Khawarij, or Baha'iyya, or Qadianiyya, or who? Whom? Which Islam are we seeking other than the true Islam?
وهذا الأمر أخبر عنه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ووصف الذين يقومون بهذه المهمة يصفون الإسلام من كل سوء لحق به ومن كل تشويه لحق به أنهم عدول أمة الإسلام. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: يحمل هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله، ينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يصف الذين يحملون الإسلام ويذبون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين بأنهم عدول الأمة. كيف أصبحوا عدولا للأمة؟ كيف أصبحوا رموزا للأمة؟ كيف أصبحوا منارات تقتدى بها؟ إنهم بدفاعهم عن الإسلام وبتصفيتهم الإسلام من كل فكر غريب ومن كل عقيدة منحرفة ومن كل بدعة ضلالة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم foretold that there will be people who will take up this mission of purifying Islam from all those impurities which will be introduced into it by these various deviant groups. He said this knowledge will be carried in every generation by the just ones in it, by the upright people in that generation. They will remove from it the alteration of the excessive ones, the presumptions or pretension of those who are false or who do falsehood, and the misinterpretations of the ignorant. So the Prophet ﷺ told that there will be a group which is always purifying and cleaning the deen, Islam, and because of this they deserved the description of being adul, of being just and upright.
ثم يا أحبائي الأمر الثاني هو أن نربي الأمة نربي المسلمين على هذا الدين المصفى بعد أن نصفي هذا الدين أن نربي الناس على هذا الدين المصفى كما قام بذلك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعلم الصحابة القرآن ويربيهم على القرآن يعلمهم السنة ويربيهم على السنة كان الصحابة إذا سمعوا آية طبقوها وإذا سمعوا حديث سارعوا إلى تنفيذه يقول عبد الله بن مسعود كنا نتعلم العشر آيات نتعلم العشر آيات لا نجاوزها إلى غيرها حتى نعمل بها حتى نعمل بها لذلك فالذي يريد الحق يتعلم الدين الصحيح من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله ويطبق هذا الدين وينفذ هذا الدين ولا ينتظر حتى يأتي جميع الناس ويطبقونه لا هو يطبق هذا الدين على نفسه وعلى زوجته وعلى أولاده وعلى أهل بيته ويحث جيرانه على ذلك ويحث أصحابه على ذلك فيرى الناس قد تضافرت جهودهم